forever the same. You will never change. Your word is so true. Your word is so kind. Your word is so faithful. We love you and we honor you. Speak to us. None of us live the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Praise God. Glory to God. Hear about a very important topic. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What we discussed last week was about preaching, teaching, and healing. Now we got this verse, just a quick recap. Matthew 9:35. The Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Hallelujah. Then we read from Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. Hallelujah. Then we read also from 1 John 3:8. For whosoever committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it was clear that Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. Hallelujah. And we said that if God became a man, which he did, what would he do? He would do the most important and the most significant things that could ever be done. The Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As the heavens are infinitely higher than the earth, the heavens are so infinite, you cannot even measure the heavens. Hallelujah. It's infinitely so. His thoughts are infinitely higher than our thoughts. Think about that.
Wow.
As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways from ours. Now the heavens is a very big place. Very, very big place. We have a very huge universe which is expanding. Hallelujah. So if the universe is expanding, the solar system, have we even gotten anywhere near the end of our solar system? Now, our galaxy, who knows the name of our galaxy? The Milky Way. Now, the Milky Way galaxy, a galaxy comprises of many solar systems. So there are millions of solar systems in our galaxy. Hallelujah. And there are millions or billions of galaxies in the universe. Even though there are millions of solar systems, the galaxy has a neighbor or neighboring galaxy called the Andromeda. Hallelujah. And there are billions or millions of galaxies in the universe. And the Bible is saying, and a light year. Now, some of the galaxies are millions or billions of light years away.
Wow.
Now, a light, the amount of the distance light travels in a year. That's a light year. So, some of the stars we see, the planets we see, at least astronomers say that it takes millions of years for the light from the galaxy to reach our eyes. So it means that what we are seeing now is what happened millions of years ago. Hallelujah. Very wild. And yet, the Bible says that as the heavens are high on the earth, so are his ways from ours. So, you and I, if we are able to understand God's mind and understand how he operates, then we are almost like God, which is not possible.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So if God became a man, the most important things he would do, and he would do the maximum good. But you and I, we would have thought that if God became a man, you do certain things in a certain way. But he did it totally different from how we would have done it. That's why he says that if you want more, you give. Give and it shall be given unto you. If you want to be high, be low. If God became a man, many of us would feel that God would establish universities, establish major big hospitals, provide portable water for thousands of villages, would provide electricity, a dam, so many things. But God didn't do all that when he came. Hallelujah. Also, if God were to become a man, what would be some of the evidence of it? If God were to become a man, his entry into the world would be unusual. He came by a virgin. The Immaculate Conception, they say, right? Which is true. He was born of a virgin. A woman who had never met a man. Or a woman who had never known a man. Now we are talking about met a man as knowing a man. I know Antoinette, but I don't know her.
That's right.
But Mary knew men around, but didn't know them. Because the Bible says, and Jacob knew his wife and she conceived. So there's a knowing. I don't know if you understand. And so what I'm trying to say is that Mary was a virgin. Now, how can a virgin have a child? So his coming was unusual. And the devil has tricked many people. There's a very, I believe he was a learned man who we met in when we're doing on outreach. And this man, learned man, who knows, maybe he was at one of the top doctors there, I don't know. He looked like, yeah. And he was talking rubbish as a learned man. Yeah. Rubbish. You are saying that Mary was not a virgin. And he was trying to use the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, not even the original Hebrew, that was debunked. Then he started to talk about weddings in those days, what weddings represented. Of course, in the days of Jacob, when you have the wedding or the marriage is established after sex, they show the blood, then that shows that you are married. Hallelujah. So he was trying to say that for Joseph to have married her, that happened. But what he forgot was that Joseph was betrothed. The marriage had not yet taken place. So they were engaged. So his mind has been warped with Satan's ideas. That's why I said he was talking rubbish. Learned, but rubbish. Hallelujah. But Jesus was born of a virgin. Number two, if God were to become a man, he would probably speak the greatest words ever spoken. And he did. Matthew 7:29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. If God became a man, he would be sinless and perfect. 1 Peter 2:22, which says that, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No sin, no treachery, no deceit found in his mouth. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at Jesus' life, the probability of Jesus fulfilling the prophecies or any person fulfilling the prophecies would have been, it's too low that you have to make it zero. Unless it was that person. For a person who was not God to have fulfilled the prophecies. There were so many prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Even in his birth, he fulfilled the prophecy that he must be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, because that was the prophecy from the Old Testament that Bethlehem, look at Bethlehem Ephrathah, for though thou be little among the thousands out of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth, who is from old, from everlasting. Yes, Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So he needed to come from Bethlehem. But they were in Nazareth. They were far away. Now, how was God going to make Joseph and Mary, who was heavy with child, go to Bethlehem for Jesus to be born? That was also a miracle. He called Caesar Augustus. to say that he needs to be to know the strength of his people and the people to be registered for taxation. So everyone needed to go to their hometown at a certain date. But that had to have forced them, because no one would go with his wife. We went to Jerusalem from modern day Tiberias, where Capernaum and all those places were, and even Nazareth, to Bethlehem. Huh, you need a bus ride, long journey. Of course, they could cut. There was a path you could take, which would shorten the distance. But it was a very long journey. So, if what would cause a man, a good man, to allow his wife to travel so far, pregnant wife, heavy with child, all the way to Bethlehem? It must have been at the hand of God which caused Augustus Caesar to say that everyone must be taxed, everyone must register a census now. So he had to go. So even the virgin birth. Also, how can it be that out of all the tribes of Israel, God will cause two people from the line of David to meet? How? Why not? Because out of 12 tribes, Judah, it could have been from Levi, yeah, or Issachar. Why Judah? So for two people, individuals, to come together from the tribe of Judah, from the line of David, to have a child in Bethlehem. Wow. It's very unusual. Right. But that happened with Jesus. Amen. And so many other miracles that we can't go into. Hallelujah. If God became a man, he would overcome the problems that plagued mankind through the centuries. Matthew 8:16. Am I saying something to someone? And all these things he did. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. Hallelujah. If God became a man, he would control the elements that he created. And Matthew 14:26, he did that. He exercised power over the wind and the rain, and even walked on the sea that he had created. Now, many people must realize that we mustn't tempt God, but God has given us power over the elements. Yeah. You and I should be able to control the storms. The kind of rain that was going to pour in El Salvador, I prayed, if you watch the video, I said, God, let it not rain. Let the rain stop. The kind of rain that was going to pour down. When you see the video that Kafui produced, the kind of wind that was coming, it was only God who helped us. And many people, Christians, have stopped tornadoes from destroying their homes. I remember Jerry in Minnesota. There was a tornado, and he prayed that, God, let my house not be stopped, be touched. We're in a half night meeting far away from his house. And there was a tornado, and when he went home, the houses around his house were touched by the tornado. His house would remain intact. Oh, yeah. We must have power by the elements. Yeah. That's why Jesus says, why were you afraid? Why didn't you have faith? Because Jesus was asleep, expecting the disciples to act and exercise their authority in his name. If God became a man for a brief period, his visit on earth, no matter how brief, would always be remembered. No matter what the unbelievers say, or no matter what the unbelievers do, the dating system is connected to our Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord. A.D., B.C., B.C. before Christ. Whether you say common era or you say whatever, B.C. is before Christ. A.D. is the year of the Lord, from the year of his birth. You can't run from that. If God became a man, he would overcome man's greatest enemy. 2 Timothy 1:10. Man's greatest enemy. What is man's greatest enemy? A loss of job? Divorce? Sick? Man's greatest enemy is death. No matter their plans, death would spoil the plans. You man can make plans, but it's only God who can establish the plans.
Yes.
That's why my mother taught me that. And I, when you are a child, you are trying to just follow it and feeling that your mother is being a bit too much. Say, God willing. Yes. When we are talking and we say, oh, tomorrow. No. Say, God willing.
Yes.
It is when I became a Christian that I understood it. God willing, because you and I don't have power over tomorrow.
That's right.
So tomorrow, God willing. I'm always saying God willing. Always. I try. When I'm texting, sometimes I'm in a hurry to text, I'll say God willing. So God knows that, look, I know it's God willing. Yeah. If no matter what, no matter how fast, no matter how busy, God willing. And Sergeant Bearden, first class, I love what he says. He's one of the army, retired army sergeant, first class. This man, he always says that, look, if God says the same. Yeah. Fantastic. Tomorrow, we can meet for dinner if God says the same. Meaning that if God confirms it and says the same, we will meet. Because if God does not say the same, there's no meeting happening. Yeah. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished, oh glory to God, so he has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Immortality means you will never die.
Amen.
Even those in hell are not dead. They are spiritually dead. Hallelujah. And some people use the law of conservation of energy. What does it say? Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It's only transferred. Hallelujah. But whatever the law is, we know for sure that a soul doesn't die.
Yeah.
Now, those who are not for Jesus, unfortunately, will be alive, but spiritually dead. Spiritual death is total separation from God and his presence.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the example is Lazarus and the rich man. When Jesus was given a parable, Jesus said, and there was, and this is a parable. The kingdom of God is likened unto, it was very clear. But Jesus said, and there was a certain man clothed with purple and fine linen, who fed sumptuously every day, eating meat, all these things. And there was a beggar named Lazarus. Not the Lazarus, his friend, but a Lazarus long ago. And a beggar named Lazarus, who had sores, the dogs licked, and the Lazarus ate of the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table. And usually the poor die before the rich. Lack of health care, lack of good food, lack of good education. So they eat the wrong things and get sick and die early. Hallelujah. And the poor man died, and he was carried by the angels. When we die, angels carry us. Hey, glory to heaven. And the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man also died. That one, angels, where are the angels? No, it's the spirit of death that comes. And in hell, or the region of the dead, Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So he had eyes. Very good. He had eyes. And then he had hands. He had feelings. He had his memory. He could remember. So he was still alive. Dead people are not dead, but still alive. They are either alive in heaven, in God's presence, or they are alive in the flames of spiritual death. Now, hell is a transient hotel. Yes. Hell is just a transient hotel. Meaning that it's like you are on your way to like death row, and you go through Sheraton Hotel and you're in chains. Yeah, for the last time. Yeah, hell. Shall I show you why? And this is where hell is, Hades, meaning the region of the dead. There's no time to go into it, but in Abraham's time or in Christ's time, before Christ died, we had Hades. The region of the dead, or Sheol, the Old Testament. Hades, the region of the dead, had two compartments. Compartment of Abraham's bosom and compartment of fire. That's why Abraham and the rich man, Lazarus could see the rich man. There was a gulf So there were two compartments. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, he took Abraham's bosom to heaven. So now there is no burning, there is no Abraham's bosom in the region of the dead. Now it's only fire. But that is a transient hotel. Look at Revelation, I believe chapter 21. Let's start from 13. Let me make sure that is it. Revelation 20, verse 10. Revelation 20. How many are hearing what I'm talking about? So, Jesus destroyed the greatest enemy, death. But even death is also a preliminary. Death and Hades are preliminary. I'll explain it. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The end of sin, or the end of those who are not in heaven, is the lake of fire. That's the problem. A lake of fire. Who knows which, whether it's some place or planet somewhere or whatever. But what we know is that it's a lake. Instead of water, it's fire. With blue and all the different things in it. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The great white throne. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Look, ladies and gentlemen, there are books that have been written about you and I now. Now, you and I will be judged based on the things written in the books. Now, those who are in heaven or those who are in Christ will not need to face the great white throne judgment, at least before Christ comes. Hallelujah. We will be in heaven. But in heaven, it's only because our names are written in the book of life. But when we are in heaven, there will be the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe that those books that are books of works, there will be books of works, books of love. Who knows? There will be different books. These are my theories. When it's a theory, I'll add it. But what we know is that there are going to be books. What we know is that there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And Christians are going to be judged based on the things they have done in the body. That is clear. Yes. And the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So death and hell or Hades delivered up the dead. So those who died, the death, don't forget, Jesus had the keys of death and hell. So those who died came out of death. Those who were burning in Hades in the hotel also came out. And they were judged every man according to their works. So it means that death and hell had beings or people in it who were delivered up. Next verse. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So death as the entity, Hades as the entity. You remember the horse? Those who rode on the horses were death and hell. Death and Hades followed. I can't remember who followed. One was in the horse and one followed. Hallelujah. But Jesus went and destroyed them, took the keys of death and hell. So now you and I, we are not going to be part of these people who were delivered up. You and I are not going to be cast into the lake of fire because Jesus took the keys. Amen. Hey, glory! I said Jesus took the keys of death and hell. So all these things that are here, we'll be in heaven watching. What do you think? So, Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. Now, it means that preaching, teaching, and healing is the maximum good.
Yes.
Look at Matthew 9:35 again. And Jesus, so this means that, let me say it, and Jesus went about, spent a lot of his time going about in the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus was going through all the cities. That was what he spent his time doing. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was not having hospitals and establishing boreholes. Now, do you understand what I mean? So why was Jesus, who is God, who is so wise, spending most of his time, or just about all his time, preaching, teaching, and healing? Why? Because preaching, teaching, and healing is the maximum good. Glory to God. I said it's the maximum good. So it means that any time we hear the preaching, the teaching, and there are people being healed, it is the maximum good. It's more important than any other thing. Wow. Because Jesus spent his time doing that.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you are hearing what I'm saying. He spent his... Now look at it in NLT. Jesus traveled through all the cities and villages of that area, teaching in their synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And whenever, wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness. Now look at Acts 10:38 again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So preaching, teaching, and healing is doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. So anytime there is preaching, anytime there is teaching, anytime there is healing, the maximum good is being done, and good is being done, and all who are oppressed of the devil are being delivered. Amen. Just by preaching, just by teaching, just by healing.
Amen.
1 John 3:8. For whoever has committed sins of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Preaching, teaching, healing is doing good, is doing the maximum good, and is destroying all the power and the work of the devil. Just by preaching, just by teaching, just by healing, and then going on the cross and dying. So you and I must now find out why preaching, teaching, and healing is the maximum good. Why would God come all the way from heaven to spend most of his time preaching, teaching, and healing before dying? We understand the dying because he came to die for our sins. But what is the point of the preaching, the teaching, and the healing? Why did he spend all his time doing that? Now, since his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, then we can tap into the wisdom, the highest level of wisdom that God exhibited on earth, by finding out why preaching, teaching, and healing is the maximum good. Wow. What do you think?
Yes.
So that is what we are going to talk about.
Amen.
Preaching, teaching, and healing.
Amen.
Number one, why preaching is powerful. Preaching is powerful because it attacks the root of man's problems. I said, preaching is powerful because it attacks the root of man's problems. It means that human beings, whatever problem they have, whatever the source of the problem is, sickness, the source of sickness is sin. Death, the source of death is sin. Poverty and everything you and I are praying about, every problem of mankind is as a result of sin. And so Jesus needed to deal with man's problems from the root of it. Otherwise, Jesus could have just healed. Look, I heal everyone. But man's problems will not have been solved. What will happen to their children? Otherwise, that would have meant that Jesus would have put a bandage on people. Someone has a boil. Okay, I'll bandage you. I'll give you a payment. Someone has strep throat. I'll give you Advil. So you are trying to deal with the symptoms, but not the root of the problem. But Jesus went and took antibiotics and smashed out the strep. Smashed it out. there will be no need for Advil or ibuprofen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Jesus dealt with man's problem. Look at Genesis 3, 8 to 13. Jesus dealt with man's problems from the root of it. Ladies and gentlemen, preaching is very important. When you and I expose ourselves to the preaching, we are exposing ourselves to God dealing with the root of our problems. Amen. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the tree of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree?" God asks us questions not because he doesn't know. He asks us questions for us to acknowledge what we need to acknowledge. So he already knew. Some people feel that if God is all-knowing, why was he asking? He is asking because he wants us to acknowledge what we've done wrong. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Just like Abel, Cain and Abel. God said, "Cain, where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper?" Then God said, "Is not Abel's blood calling out to me?" So God knew already, but he wanted to see what Cain would say. And the man said, "The woman whom thou givest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Ever since this time, God gave Adam his wife. Ever since this time, God says, if a man finds a wife, go and find your wife. I gave you a wife. You are blaming. You say the wife I gave you. Okay, now you find your wife. Now he who finds a man that findeth a wife, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You can't blame God now. He said, and the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" So as God was speaking those words, "What is this that thou hast done?" Do you not understand, Eve, that because you were deceived and persuaded your husband, you forced your husband, you pushed your husband, you convinced your husband, do you not know that by doing that, you have actually caused death? You have caused Satan to become the ruler of the world. You have caused evil to come. You've caused the one who hates mankind, hates God so much that he now hates mankind and wants to hurt God by hurting mankind. Do you not know that now Satan is going to destroy mankind? What have you done? What have you done? Now sin is going to have dominion over you. Do you understand, Eve? Adam was the prince of the world. Adam was the ruler of the world. God gave him dominion over everything. Now you've given it to Satan. That's why he can control the elements, Satan. That's why in the book of Job, Satan was able to cause earthquakes. Adam was the prince of the world at that time. And he committed high treason and sold out the rights to Satan. Hey. And high treason is punishable by death. That's why Adam died. Adam died. He committed high treason. High treason, even in America now. Everywhere, high treason. Punishable by death. But of course, he's in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the direct creation of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 5, 12 to 17. So preaching deals with man's problems from the root of it.
Yes.
That's why many people who don't expose themselves to preaching still have those demons or those problems still getting worrying them and following them. In general, because Jesus said, "You are clean by my word." Anytime we expose ourselves to preaching, it wards off evil.
Yeah,
and I'm not just talking about preaching in church, but podcasts, listening to preaching, listening to preaching after listening to the word, listening to preaching after reading your Bible. But it's better, number one, read your Bible, listen to your word. That's primary before any preaching.
That's right.
But how many can admit that it's better to listen to preaching than not to listen to anything at all when you are not even reading your Bible? At least the preaching will prompt you to read your Bible. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. So sin entered into man. So the offspring of Adam. Let's continue. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the manner of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, it goes on. So because of Adam's sin, Adam's descendants all sinned, and all had the sin nature and could not but sin. So God came to deal with man's problems, the problem of sin from the root of it. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus had not been crucified, he would not have been able to die. Anyone who has not sinned before cannot die. But because every human being has sinned, we will die. Jesus was the only one who never sinned. If he was not crucified, how is he going? He can't die. He can't even get old. I believe, now this is a theory, the Bible says that as when we see him, we will be like him. I believe that when we get to heaven, whether you are 90 years old, whether you are 20 years old, we will all be 33 and a half. Jesus said. Right. That's what I believe. Because we will be like him. When we see him, we'll be like him. And he's the first fruits or the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead. So he's the first to have the glorified body amongst many brethren, the Bible says. So it means that what age are people who are old going to be in heaven old? 33 and a half. That's what I believe. Yeah. It's a very plausible, nice theory. Hallelujah. So how many are getting what I'm saying? So man's problems were dealt with the sin problem. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's why we all die. That's why it is appointed unto men once to die. We will all die. I will die, you will die, unless Christ tarries. Sarge is hoping to be translated. Or wait, live till Christ comes. You can have faith in that. But without that faith, we all die, unless Christ comes. We all die or go to heaven. The prayer is that we die at over 800.
Amen.
Strong and able. And our eyes not weak, and our body strong. Who? Nursing home, God forbid. Each hundred, you'll be out walking. Many youngsters, youth. As you desire.
Amen.
It's your portion. As you desire. So, ladies and gentlemen, now I can give you two examples, and then we'll continue next week, God willing, of how preaching attacks the root of man's problems. There are many, but maybe I'll give you two or three. Maybe let's start. Now, there's a certain guy. His first name begins with a C, who was a homeless guy. And one of our members in Minneapolis, when we went on outreach, we used to go on outreach under the bridge. And this guy had a homeless sign. Heaven helped the homeless to help, you know, those people. Some are genuine, some are not. When I see genuine people, I see gold. When I see genuine, someone who is poor indeed, I see a gold mine. Because when you help the poor, God is going to shower you with money and blessings. So when I see a poor person indeed, I make sure that I do my best for the grace of God. But if I see, because I've met, did I tell you about the poor person I met in London? That almost missed my blessing. When I was in the world, and I was with a certain girl, we went to meet her friends in the bar. We went to the bar. We met a guy dressed, British man, dressed very well, and said, "All rounds on me." Do you know his job? He was a professional beggar. In the morning, he would wear tattered clothes, tax free. Tattered clothes, you messed up. Have you heard the helpless? That made him a lot of money. Yeah. Clean this. Yeah. Then in the evening, he comes all rounds on me. This one will be like over £200 all rounds on me. So that's why I said, beggar indeed. When I go to Ghana and I see someone, I check, is the leg really cut? Is the hand really? Then I know. Then I shower you. I don't just give you any. No. I used to try to do that here, and many of you take it and use it for drugs. When I was in ministry, at that time I was new in these things. So I don't just, you are going to house the person. One of the church members was in DFW. The pastor was very zealous. Oh, you know what? There is this guy. I want to help him. He needs a hotel. I'm giving him money for the. I said, no. He wants a driver's license. Okay. Give him the money for the driver's license. Don't give him any hotel money. Give him the money for the driver's license and let him come back. When he comes back and shows you the driver's license, then give him the hotel. Lo and behold, the guy used it for something else. Yeah, you have to know how to deal with certain. You see, now let's go back to present tense a few years ago. Now, having helped the homeless, now this was a homeless person indeed. This person was a nurse in his younger days. And through divorce and through different substance abuse, he became homeless, lost everything, lost his license, lost everything, and was homeless. For years, 10, 15 years or more, homeless. Nope, not practice. Now, the guy invited him to stay in his house. Bold move. This guy with a C stayed in the guy's house. He started coming to church. We told him that we are not a charity. Well, we are a charity, but you have to prove yourself. We'll help you physically. So what I do is that, I need money. Let's go to the store. I'll buy it for you. That's what I did. And people were very accept. Then you know they are doing drugs. There was someone who said, my baby needs, he needs milk. Okay. The pastor was about to give him the money. I said, hold on. Let's go. The guy didn't want to go. So this guy, we helped him in the right way. But we told him that we don't give money out. We don't know what you're going to do with the money. This guy started coming to church on a regular basis. Coming to church. We told him, don't just come to church. Come to church, read your Bible, have your quiet time. Don't just come to church. So come to church, read your Bible. Come to church, read your Bible, pray every day. The Sunday school was saved 101. Before he realized, he started wearing better clothes. Life changed. He lost his license. He got a job. Got an apartment. Things started working out for him. So that root, the root of his poverty, the root of his homelessness was a demon, was sin, was a devil, was a generational thing, and that was smashed out through the preaching. And that fixed him. I'll give you another example. There are many. Now there's an example of a guy whose wife, he and his wife, lost their 3 children to the state because of drug activity, and they were homeless. So on our outreach excursions, we went, this feeding the poor. So we went, we fed the poor, we met these people, we preached to them. They came to church, the man and his wife. This man and his wife, the state said, look, nothing, you've lost them. We've tried many times, they didn't work. Can you believe that this man come to church, read the Bible, follow the preaching? He did exactly, listen to Bishop's messages. He did the same thing. Followed. And then I was there with him when he started having visitation rights for the children. I was there with him when he got the two of them got the children back with an apartment from homeless. Very, very short time. I'm saying that the preaching deals with the problem, that demon. Now, come to church. This guy, F, his first name begins with F. F, come to church. Oh, you know, God, I said, look, Fred. I mentioned his name. Fred, come to church. Come, look. He said, look, be careful. You lose everything. Oh, Fred, you lose. I know. He lost everything back to the state. Why? Because the demon came back and they continued their work. I said, Fred, I'm warning you, be careful. Be careful. Oh, yes, yes, I understand, Pastor David, I understand. He lost everything back to the city. Because of time, but there are many, I'll give you some more examples. Examples of how just exposing yourself to the preaching and the teaching fixes your life. I tell you, it fixes your life. It fixes your life. You and I must expose ourselves not only to the preaching in church, but listen to the, look, we have at our church, and of course in many other churches, there are so many messages. If you want to expose yourself to messages, just go on the podcast. Plenty. Plenty. There are so many that I don't even know how, because we'll be able to finish them. Because as we are listening to them, more are coming. So exposing yourself. You can play messages throughout the day and just find some time to soak it in. It's very important. He lost everything. I remember I was driving to church. I said, I'm coming for you to pick you up. He said, oh, you know, I've got to sort this out. That was 1 week. I said, okay. Second week, I said, look, third week, I said, look, Fred, come. This was even weekday service. He said, oh, you know, I said, look, you lose it. Oh, be careful. You lose it. You lose everything because God is fixing your life. You've stopped the drugs. He lost everything. There was another guy who came to church. When he said, God resists the proud, he came to church. His girlfriend, his beloved, his girlfriend at that time was, not beloved, but girlfriend, because they were in a certain style, was unbeliever, sex, wild things. Hallelujah. So he came to church. His girlfriend invited him to church. As he came, oh, how are you? Because he was making $10 an hour and doing overtime and had apartment, had everything going well, which is good. $10 an hour, very nice. So he thought because of that, where, you know, so he was kind of. Until God decided, I don't know what happened, but he lost everything. Lost his job, lost everything, and was homeless. Then, ground zero. Then when we saw him the next time, yes, Pastor. He came wretched clothes, so we were able to help him. They had a certain shelter. We were able to pay for a better space for him instead of being with the other people. He came, when you see, it's like a transformation. If you were to see the videos, he came wretched, looking all sad. The next week, sad. And as the weeks went by, you see him dressing better, see him rejoicing. As we are dancing in church, we're dancing. But I advised him, I only have one advice for you, sir. All I can say is, come to church every Sunday. Come to church as much as you can. Don't only come to church. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. So he'll show me. I read this my quiet time. Can you believe that God fixed his life? Consistency. He started, got a job. Happy. Everything going well. For a long time until the ex-girlfriend came. When the ex-girlfriend came, she took him away. And I said, Delilah, be careful. No, but it's a twist. I'll explain that twist. Look, I warned her. This is the guy who wanted to hang himself. Anyway, he wanted to hang himself. That's when we met him. Yeah. No, in fact, he left. Yes, he left. Lost everything again. And he called us crying. So myself and Sergeant went to the house and he wanted to hang himself. He actually showed us a rope and the letter he was leaving because the girl had messed him up and wanted to hang himself. So he was saved again. Now, this lady, I met her one day And she was crying. I haven't mentioned names yet, right? Okay. She was crying. She was crying. And I sat with her. And she explained the things she needs to do for drugs. The things she does. Her whole family. And she was weeping. She was weeping. And I said, look, God will use you one day. Don't worry. God will use you. I had tears in my eyes when many years later, she's clean from drugs and she's now working to counsel people out of drugs. Wow. And in church. Wow. The preaching makes a difference. So you and I, the devil's game, the devil's strategy is to take us away from the preaching, I'm telling you. That's why would Jesus, the God of the universe, spend his time preaching, teaching, healing, except it is the maximum good? So preaching deals with man's problems from the root of it.
Yes.
And fixed her up. She's now, it's such a blessing. When I text her, she's doing so well. But it's amazing. Never give up on people. This was like 4 or 5 years. Nothing going for her. Nothing going for her. Drugs. The things she did for drugs. Now clean and helping others. It's only Jesus who can take people out of drugs.
Yes.
It's only Jesus. Many people go back. It's only Jesus. She's clean now because of the power of the preaching. I'm not out of word. I'm just out of time. Shall we stand to our feet to continue? The preaching of the word. The preaching of the word. Let's speak to the Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Jesus. And ask for mercy. Ask for grace. Ask to give us a grace to have our Bible study, to spend time with the word. To spend time with the word of God. Having our quiet time, our Bible study, deals with so many problems, exposing ourselves to the preaching of the word makes a whole lot of difference. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Ask God to give you grace. I need more grace. I need more grace. Show me your grace. Yes. Cause me to delight in your word. For David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And God sent his word in the Old Testament, and his word healed them of their destruction, their diseases. And God sent his word in the New Testament, and blessed be God, that word was Jesus, and it's Jesus. And Jesus will make all the difference in our lives. If you are here this afternoon, or you are watching and you are not born again, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you want the new birth experience. You want to be born again. Jesus said, except, very verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. For that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you that ye must be born again. Then the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10 that if we will confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe with our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is with the heart we believe and are made righteous, and with the mouth we confess and are saved. If you want to say, Pastor, pray with me, raise up your hands wherever you are, including where you are. As you are watching, just raise your hands. And repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
I believe.
That he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Forgive me
for
all my sins.
Cleanse me
from all unrighteousness. From today,
today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus,
for saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you and we honor you for your word. Thank you for the preaching, the teaching, and the healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.